So, hello together. I want to give you a warm welcome to my meetup, or to our meetup, about IoT on a real business case. First, I want to introduce myself. Hopefully it works. I'm Christian Waha. I'm platform manager for T-Systems International, which is part of the German Telekom, Deutsche Telekom. We have a daughter company here as well. I think everybody knows it, T-Mobile USA. I'm there responsible for the multi-IoT service platform, which mainly based on Azure. And I want to introduce you some business case studies we did. For an example, I used first agenda. I will show you some business case requirements, then a short calculation, and then I will do will tell you the advantages we had, and then I think we make a Q&A. So, the business case requirements. We had a request for an offer for a solar company based in Atlanta, and they wanted to know about the maintenance. They want to do the maintenance of their fridges. So they have a fridge. They want to know how is the temperature, how often the doors are opened, how many cans are used from this fridge. And we had the problem, what can we do? First of all, the scenarios, you have a fridge and it's somewhere in the nowhere. You have a fridge maybe in the desert and it has to connect with you. So first of all, there are some examples for your analysis, for my analysis. First, we make a predictive maintenance with machine learning on this. And we did find out that we have some technical requirements and some business requirements. The technical requirements are which device we use, which sensors are there, which connectivity we need, and what kind of storage is necessary there. The business requirements are always how can we manage the devices, how can we manage our users, how we manage the events which come from the devices. Then we have some machine learning to make a predictive maintenance, and then we have security issues. First of all, the devices. So we have some IoT devices which are necessary for this. And there are some problems. First of all, which functions are necessary for these devices? How is the payload of the device? How we can maintain them, the power supply? Because sometimes there is no power supply for this device. We have to use a battery or whatever. Then the connection is a big problem. Then the protocols we use, the size of the device, how we can bring it to the logistic problems, how to bring it to the device to the fridge, and then the storage of the device. Where can we store it? The next problem was which sensors are necessary there. On the fridge, we have some, maybe a sensor which gives us the temperature, but we want to know the temperature, the humidity, where is it, the location, the lifetime of the sensor, how long is it working, the safety of the sensors, how is the value of the sensor, how accurate is it, then the power, how we can power this sensor, and then the size. Our next point is how we connect with the sensors or with the IoT device. First of all, the connection is really important and it's a big problem for business IoT devices, especially if you have, maybe I know the soda company has some million of fridges all over the world. And so we need a protocol which is working there. Maybe MQTT with a payload adapter. Then we connect with the Azure IoT Hub, which time slots we are using. So how often is the fridge sending us the data? The latency of the data. We need some fallback scenarios for this connectivity. Then the payload is, again, the big problem. If you use some SIM card inside the devices, how can you reduce the cost of this? And then we have some international connectivity. Not everywhere we can provide a mobile connectivity. And then our next step, how we do the device management. We use at the moment the IoT Hub device management, and there are different views for device management. First of all, you have a user interface view. The customer wants to add some devices. The customer wants to group them, maybe on some local groups or some kind of fridge. This is always difficult, and the Azure device management is not delivering us that. Then we have the functionality of the device management. There are often too less functionality for the business. Sometimes they want an asset management. Sometimes they want an access management. And all this should be reflected in a portal, because we cannot offer the customer direct access to their Azure portal. So we have to build by our own such portals. Then our next problem is the user management. We used Azure AD as a user database, where we can add the users, and all this has to be in an additional UI for our customers. So we have users, their user roles, we have an access management, and we need some authentication for this. Then the next problem, data storage. In Germany, it's very recommended that the data is safe and it cannot be accessed from any government. And that's often a real problem. So Microsoft brought the German cloud now in general availability. So we can store this data in Germany, but we also use this predictive maintenance solution worldwide. So we have some security or storage issues there and in Germany. And we built there some storage services, which are really a problem. We built their raw data, filtered data, and billing data. And all this have to be stored for some time. Most of the time, the raw data is stored 2 months, and we store the filtered data up to 10 years. So this will reflect a big and a huge amount of costs, and nobody think about this. Then we have the billing data. We have to tell our customer how are the costs, and it's not easy when you have 20 applications in your subscription, who get this payment or who have to pay for this. So these are big advantages for the storage. Then we have an event handling. At the moment, in Germany, it's not allowed to use messaging which is not secure, which is not approved by our company. So we have to build an own messaging service which is approved. Then we can use the Event Hub for monitoring and for maintenance purposes. The messaging, we build our own service which is based on SMTP and on WhatsApp and Twitter and everything. We build their own service which is really difficult to maintain for the security purposes. So security. So we have some security problems I will show you. We have on the sensors and IoT devices some problems. We have on the connectivity security problems, and we have on the messaging and on the eventing problems. And we have some different security levels on the device, on the protocol, on the backend, on the user management, on the operation management, and on the lifecycle. Then we have, for the predictive maintenance, machine learning. How can we add a real predictive maintenance on this? But we find out that machine learning is an ongoing process, and we cannot tell you how we can obtain it at best. So I will show you a calculation example we did. First, how we can get the requirements, how many devices are expected, how many payload do we expect, which devices do we plan, and who will use the application are also, and where are the services available. I will show you the calculation. Hopefully it works. To switch. So we made a package. What is necessary for an IoT, for an predictive maintenance? First of all, we need an IoT hub. We need a document DB. Sorry. We need a storage. We need stream analytics. We need app services. We need Azure services, Azure RD services. We need an SQL server. We need a Power BI. We need operational insights. We need an event hub. We need an Azure Service Bus, and we need machine learning. So for all of this, we think about how much devices we have there, how many users will use that, and how many data is stored there. If you see, this is a condensed view of this calculation. If you want to see more, I can open the columns. So we made for calculations for the German cloud and for the public cloud. And we think about 500 devices, 1,000 devices, 2,500 devices, and 5,000 devices, up to more than 100,000 devices. And the interesting thing is, after some time, there's no difference in the pricing for all this stuff. The most interesting cost on all this is the storage of the data. So then I would recommend that we talk about your questions. Right. So, who's first? Who has some question? Okay. Hi there.
Good morning. Thank you for the
Would you?
Clear presentation. Yes, my name is Ramin Mobasseri from IBM.
Okay.
So the question I have is around ROI, right? So how do you know that this process was successful, or and did you do any cost benefits analysis across, before and after for this one?
Can you?
So the return on investment.
Yeah, the return of.
So the client comes with a use case, and then you obviously put this beautiful, format together and all of that. But how did you measure success at the end of it, or have you measured it?
We didn't have measured at the moment because we are at this time most of the time in POC cases. So we cannot have a return of invest reflection on this at the moment.
Can I ask a second question?
Yeah, sure.
So and for the sensors, did you help the client with connecting the sensors to the IoT platform as well? Did you have any activities around that?
Yeah, we have. Also, we did some stuff with the IoT sensors, and we have some device manufacturers which built for us special devices with sensors or with sensor connectivity over Bluetooth or direct wired.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Who? Yeah.
Hello, I'm Florian. You mentioned you had some problems or concerns about privacy, right? So Germany, privacy.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Question about that. You said you used Azure AD, you used storage. So could you repeat again, what were the privacy concerns? Were they about storage? Was it Azure AD?
There are many security and privacy concerns. Mm-hmm. First of all, storage. Especially if you make a multi-tenant application, many customers, the storage for machine learning has to be anonymous site mm-hmm. and have to be stored on a different place. And there are many concerns on this. And we manage this with special storage places for them. So every customer gets mm-hmm. his own storage area.
All right. So the storage you put in the German cloud version of Azure?
Yeah.
Depending
on the customer.
Depending on the customer, all right.
Yeah.
And what about Azure AD? Because Azure AD is not really in the German cloud.
No. You get an Azure AD which is running in the German cloud as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That is possible because...
Yeah, there's a separate Azure AD which is running in the German cloud.
Okay, because I think...
At the moment, it's mm-hmm. not available in this
portal.
You can access it by PowerShell.
All right.
It will come soon because the Ibiza portal from Azure is not supporting at the moment Azure AD.
Okay, because on the overview of the regions and services, the Azure AD is marked as global. So when you look it up, there's no check mark on Germany and Azure AD. It only says global.
Yeah, but the German cloud is separated from the public cloud.
Is an option. You can really do a lockdown Azure AD.
Yeah, you can use Azure AD.
All right.
There.
And the second and last question, will you provide the Excel spreadsheet you have?
Yeah.
Because that, I think, is pretty awesome.
if you
have a customer, what can we expect? What could something like that cost us? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. That's it.
Yes, hi. Actually, I have two questions. The first one related to the device.
Yeah.
You said it's challenging selecting the right device for the IoT. Which device at the end you find out that's the best that suit this environment?
We find out that we have to produce by ourselves. So we have some manufacturing partners which built this device for us.
Okay, so it's like dedicated only for that. You just okay. And the second
but for 10 million devices, it's not the
yeah. I know because then you need to start. Get it from the beginning. Another question is related to the data. When you do you do any analysis or pattern on the data that you receive from the devices?
Yeah.
At the end, or is like you just take it and just send message that this machine required maintenance?
No, on the most of the devices, we have a broker which compromise and make a binary compression on the data and send it over the, I think, MQTT SN protocol, which is a smaller protocol to reduce the payload.
Okay.
And then we get it to the, we have then made a cloud adapter for the IoT hub, and the IoT hub will bring it to Stream Analytics, and then we make a condensation of the data there.
But at the end, do you do analysis on these data that you received it?
Depending on the customer wishes.
You get trending of the data, how it's happening for the machine, so you get
whatever. Yes.
Okay.
So we have them some events and trigger them for the customer. He gets some messages, everything. We analyze the complete range of data we get from him. So we can say the customer is able to say the fridge has now get a level of 6 degrees Celsius. This is not okay. Then give us some message about this fridge, And all this data is analyzed by us. All what, all the alarms which can be, all the long-term data we analyze as well, and make some predictive maintenance solution there to make machine learning and say this fridge can be that he is damaged in 5 years or in next week it's damaged because the condenser is down or something. Who's next? You have a question?
Thanks a lot for the valuable inputs on all the side effects of an IoT project. I have two questions. Do you have some outcome, some graphics that you can present, what you did with all this data? And the first question would,
The first question, at the moment I cannot show you because this is all privacy data on POX and it's not allowed to show them to the...
Okay. And the next one, can you talk a little bit about schedule and efforts? So what have been the effort drivers in that scenario?
The big effort is, first of all, most of the stuff is not ready. The device management is on a level you cannot use. The messaging is not there. There are not all protocol adapters there you need. Especially MQTT is nice, but if you use it with a SIM card or mobile devices, it's not possible to use it. It's too much payload. And then we have to think about which device we will use, and then you have to ask the manufacturer how they can build that. Is it possible with a battery? Is it possible with that? Especially you need a battery which is charging, so you know now it's no power anymore for this device or for the fridge. The fridge is out of power. Yeah. How you can send it if your device is on the power supply of the fridge?
Yeah.
So you need some battery with a backup power supply.
Most effort to get the data into the system.
Yeah. When the system is running, there is no big effort anymore. So when you get the data in the IoT hub, then your job is done.
Okay. The terms and effort for building the IoT hub and the general configuration in the cloud?
Yeah, that's. Can you repeat it that everybody can hear it?
Yeah, so the question was how much effort was it to build the overall solution? So apart from the device itself, but in Azure, bringing up all of the analytics parts and so on.
I think the first version was built in 2 months. And we are now in release step 2 and soon 3. This is now 6 months, and the next is in 3 months ago. So 9 months for the whole product.
Thank you.
It's really easy because most of the stuff is there.
Okay.
The biggest problem was to make the templates for automatic deploying and everything, and billing processes in our company. Okay.
Hi, my name is Mark Trump, Telco Company in Aruba. How do you handle the billing itself in Azure, or do you offload the CDRs or the data to another software application that does the billing?
The billing or?
The billing for the customer.
The billing for the customer. Yeah, we took the data in our own billing system, because it's only allowed to use our billing system for make invoices to the customer. Especially we combine this data from Azure with the data from the T-Mobile stuff to make them a whole invoice with all these components in it. Some more? Nobody has any questions anymore? So you want to know about something about protocols, about devices, or data stored? Ah, there, okay.
How are the sensors connecting to the hub through which protocol, like LoRa or?
The connection to the hub is at the moment used by MQTT, And there's a special sub-protocol on MQTT, which is named SN, which makes a smaller payload for the data. And the sensors took their data and bring it to the device, and the device is collecting the data and send it to the IoT hub. It's not recommended that every sensor is sending all the time data.
How's the device sending data back? Is it using LTE or mobile network, or what is it using?
If it's possible, we use Wi-Fi. If not, we use LTE or mobile network. Depending on the coverage of the network, we have to use some edge or more faster variants.
And it goes straight, to Azure storage, or?
The data comes from the device and goes straight to the IoT hub.
Okay.
Better, on front of the IoT hub, we make a cloud adapter which understands this protocol.
Is there an architecture diagram?
I can...
On the data flow?
Yeah, it's on the data flow. I have to make you a picture if you want.
Okay.
I can add it to the presentation and then
okay. You
can see it or download it.
The flow of what components you have, because there were quite a few things that you had mentioned in the presentation.
Yeah.
So I was wondering what each function is performed by each.
I can show you the picture again.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So the flow, here's the fridge, and there's the sensors.
When you say messaging, is that related to alerts or triggers or something?
Messaging is related to, first of all, the data come to the IoT hub, goes to the Stream Analytics,
okay.
And from there, it goes to messaging or to the Event Hub for the monitoring.
Okay.
Depending on the user settings.
Okay.
If it caused some point, it goes to the messaging because it's an urgent alarm, or to the event hub for some monitoring purposes.
Question. Did you apply some security layers on your communication, or is it plain?
This is all secure.
Based on X507, or what did you?
It's based on X507, yes.
Full-fledged or
full-fledged? Yeah.
Okay. Second question. You showed many sensors, many devices.
Yeah.
Would you reveal the brands you did successfully use to us?
I don't know the brands, to be honest.
The devices.
From the device?
The sensors.
The sensors, I don't know.
Okay.
But there are not that many sensor manufacturers on this world. And the devices are made by Foxconn or Huawei or whatever. Who's the cheapest to fit our requirements? Yeah, sure.
So you talked about failure of the devices to communicate, the IoT, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of mechanism did you use to, and how long is the, so let's say you got data from 5 sensors, right?
Yeah.
And you have a schedule that sends up the data, right? So how many messages would you save on the device before you start tossing?
First of all, we store the parameter is not the message size or the messages, how many we store. The parameter is the time. So we said after 12 hours, there's an alarm in the service, which gives us the support, the possibility to go or vent to the device and have a look on it.
Okay, so you don't actually store, your device just sends one message or a parameter, and if it fails, and you don't care ever again?
No, there's.
So there's a storage mechanism.
There's a storage in the device.
Okay, so how many parameters? I mean, typically, you know, is it 1,000 or is it 100 or is it just enough for 12? You know, whatever your response time is to go. I would assume when the field person goes out, they would pull those messages that didn't get sent up or what?
At the moment, we send, I think, one message per hour.
Okay.
Because it's not really important to know every second how is the temperature of a fridge. And for us, it's also interesting how often is the fridge opened. So this sensor data is also okay if it's sent it once an hour. So the device is collecting the data and then send it in an hour.
Okay. So how long does it store that data on the device?
I think 1 week.
1 week, okay. So let's say it tries to send, so you're sending an hourly schedule. So let's say hour one fails. So would hour two, would it try to send the previous two parameters?
Sure.
Okay.
It collects again the data and send one message with the data.
So it basically uses a sequence, right? So
yeah.
It would continue to try to send, you know, message from 12 hours until it gets sent, and then it would immediately 5 minutes later go to the next one?
Yeah, especially if the first hour's message is a failure, the device try again in 5 minutes, and the next 5 minutes, and the next 5 minutes, until it's get the connection. And then the next message is 1 hour later.
So did you put anything in there to prevent, like, a denial of service from your own devices? Because if all of a sudden you have a million devices, something goes wrong.
10 million.
And then, you know, they're all trying to send messages every 5 minutes. I was just curious, you know, how did you protect yourself against that?
Yeah, we can send by the IoT hub over the device management push request and say, stop sending.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you can actually, I see that you have two-way communication.
Yeah.
So now do the devices have enough intelligence to know, hey, this is something really wrong and I need to send a message immediately, or does it just send on that 1 hour?
Yeah, this we implemented as well, that if there's a big failure, so the temperature is increasing too much in a short time. First of all, we wait. We ask for a minimum, I think, 50 seconds to collect the data and see if all the values go up. Maybe sometimes the sensor delivers a wrong value.
Right. So are you filtering your...
Yeah, we're filtering on the device, and then after it arrives in the IoT hub, we filter about the stream analytics again.
Okay. So are you running a continuous filter, or are you looking at like the last 10 readings and then send that average, or what?
There is a continuous filter, yeah.
Continuous, okay. I don't know the exact technical name for that. But, let's see if I have any more stupid questions.
Don't worry.
I had one, but I forgot it. Is anyone else had a question? Maybe I'll think of it in a second.
I was just curious from a high-level perspective, if a customer's never, obviously done the solution, it's fairly new, how do you recommend first steps? Is it POC? I mean, what would be a success?
Yeah, sure, always POC.
Yeah.
We recommend always a POC case for most of the customer to see and to fit them best. It's not easy to say, yeah, we have the best solution there. No, we have to see what data is there. The first step of IoT is always to think about the data and the data you really want. Most of the customer don't know which data they need.
So to determine your needs and then formulate the solution is what you're saying?
Can you recap?
So you're saying determine the need and then formulate the solution versus trying to do a test environment without knowing what type of data you're trying to collect?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, you have?
Yeah. My name is Arthur. I'm with Energy Metrics from New York. The question is, you said that IoT Hub can push data back to IoT device.
The device management of the IoT
Hub. So it's a built-in functionality in IoT Hub.
You can. There's a command and control pattern in the device management. I think it's at the moment beta stadium, but
okay.
It's a preview.
But basically it's what? It's IoT Hub will let device know that something happened, or IoT device has to question IoT Hub on a permanent basis? It's like, is it happening? Is it happening?
I don't know the exact technology, but as you send an push request to the devices.
Push request. Oh, okay.
So, how it's technically implemented, I don't know. I think the device is pulling against the IoT Hub, and the IoT Hub gives him a pattern.
Okay. And on this IoT device that you're using, what do you have? Like, is it Windows 10 IoT operating system or
no? It's some machine based.
It's like Linux or what operating system?
Depending on the devices, there's Cisco. They have Cisco Fog, and this is based, I think, on containers.
Oh, okay.
So you can use, I think, Windows 10 IoT and whatever you want.
Yeah, I see.
Or these devices, I think, use some Linux kernel.
Oh, Linux. Oh, okay. So basically,
but usually you could use Windows 10 IoT, but Microsoft has to build for the right firmware to use it on these devices.
You said that you build custom cloud connector. This is what where it sits on a gateway.
Yeah, it's on the gateway. It's a gateway.
So all the cloud sensors just gateway is responsible for gathering information.
No, it's not for the sensor data. It's for the data with the device sent to your IoT
hub. To the cloud, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you need an adapter which takes the data and convert it to a data the IoT hub is understanding.
Yeah.
You get a binary stream from the device with a small payload, and then the adapter is making a JSON which the IoT hub is understanding.
I understand, yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And we will make this open source.
Okay, so I missed the initial part of your session, so my apologies if I'm asking something that you have already explained. So you said that you should do a POC based on the requirement, right?
Yeah.
So I can say do a POC on some of the, say I can do a Raspberry Pi to do a POC, right? Now I have test idea. The problem with the POC is how do I determine the eventual cost of creating that module? Because if I'm not going out and figuring out who the vendor is for the sensor, and how I'm actually creating that device, it's very difficult to estimate. And then the whole idea might be dependent upon cost of mass producing that idea. So how those two go together?
Yeah, our advantage is we have these producers in the back. We can ask them for this. And they said, if you want to have 10 million devices, the device cost is something about €12 or $12 or...
So your company, you are a device manufacturer as well as?
No, I'm from T-Systems, which is part of the German Telekom.
Okay.
And we have here a daughter company, I think you know it, T-Mobile USA, and a communication company.
Okay. So you already have manufacturers that you could leverage?
Yeah, like Huawei or...
Well, what about, say, somebody who wants to come up with his own idea and build an IoT device? What do you
This recommend? Is no problem for us. It's until it's understanding.
I understand that. I'm trying to figure out how you solve my problem. I know, it's not a problem for you.
But we have this problem as well. We think about devices and which kind of device we want, and especially the main problem on such devices is that they have a battery and they have a SIM card in it.
Yeah.
Because we want connectivity without problems with Wi-Fi or whatever. We want a connectivity which is always there.
Okay.
You know, sometimes the wireless connectivity with a GSM network is also not. And like your question you had, that the problem is to store the data when you have no connection.
So. Do you recommend Express Route then for the most productive service? I mean, clearly, for a latency, what type of connections do you recommend?
We recommend Express Route mainly for the connection with the customer. You cannot really use Express Route for the connection to the IoT hub.
Got it. Okay.
It's really working.
It isn't. Okay.
It's not a big advantage if you use it.
Got it. Okay.
And the costs are a big problem.
Yes.
And most of the people who use IoT devices and want to use them for maintenance of their stuff, collecting the data, don't want to spend much money.
That's true.
So you can update them in the field, I take it, through your firmware. Are you able to update your firmware?
Are you able to update your firmware?
Yeah.
Do you, what kind of scheme do you use to make sure that you don't have a corrupted firmware in between your, I mean, like some places will use like they'll have two firmwares, and if one fail, you know, so you basically use a dedicated memory space for the one that you're running, and then you use another dedicated, and then you toggle a switch if that was successful. Are you guys doing any kind of schemes like that?
To be honest, this is the manufacturer of the device. And
we specify something like that.
Yeah, we specified such stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to. There's a storage for the firmware on every device for the actual running firmware and for the new, which will be on this device.
So you are using a two-part firmware.
Part. There's a backup for the current device as well.
And how many sensors are you attaching? Are they relatively
for this use case? I think 10.
Now, do all of them have 10, or do some of them only have 4, and some of them, because I imagine you have different models of...
The device can have 10.
Okay, up to 10.
So, if
are
you use two...
Or some, you have a mix of analog and digital sensors?
Yeah, there's a mixture. Yeah, every port is able to have a digital and an analog sensor. You have to configure this in the firmware.
Okay, so the ports can actually switch between...
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're analog and you just convert them to digital.
Yeah. So.
Good with them. I'm good.
You're good with them?
They're waving hard. They
make a question.
Oh, he has a question. Watching on his Apple.
What's the amount of data you have to handle? So you got 10 million of devices, and what's the amount of data you have to store and manage?
Depending on the device, I have a calculation for this. So, in euros at the moment, yeah. So the calculation is, so this is a small package. We have bigger packages as well. Yeah. So depending on the amount of storage you have, I made such packages and amount of data. So if you have 100,000 devices, we have an amount of 50,000 gigabyte per 10 gigabyte, so 500 terabytes on 100,000 devices. And store this, the raw data is stored something about 2 months, and then we store the analyzed data for 6 months. And if the customer wants, we store it until up to 5 years. It's a cost problem then. But most we have some customer which makes some stuff in the food industry. They have to store it, I think, 2 years. And some other customers, we also do something with some nuclear stuff, and they have to store it 25 years.
Most of the time, it's just a text data. Yep, it's just the sensor and the value. Sensor and the value. So are you archiving this, even though the customer wants to store it for 5 years? They don't need, like, to see immediate values of what was happening 4 years ago, so you can just archive.
Yep.
Archive.
Depending on how much the customer is able to, wants to pay, we store usually the analyzed data, but we can store the raw data as well. This is not, on the stream analytics, there's a possibility for we made there to give the data in a blob storage for the raw data, and then the other data goes to the SQL database. Oh,
okay. So it's also a part of the cloud, yeah?
Yeah, it's all in the cloud. That's it's all on the database, SQL storage.
When you said raw data, did you mean the JSON raw data or the actual sensor raw data?
The
or
JSON raw data.
Okay, so you actually, so I assume you have multiple IoT devices to hubs in most cases, right?
Yeah.
So I assume the hub is typically located on site with the device, or is it, or the device is actually communicating via Wi-Fi or to the hub?
So, to the hub, yeah.
So you have
The IoT hub is a part of Azure.
Okay, I was thinking more of a gateway device when I saw a hub.
The device is the gateway device.
The device itself is the gateway. Okay.
Yeah.
It was just a misunderstanding on my part.
The device can store up to, I think, 1 gigabyte of data.
Okay.
We don't kill the data on the device only if it's necessary. So on a cycle, I think once a year, the data older than 2 months is all the time, older data than 2 months will be killed.
Okay.
There.
So you just use it in like a round robin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So sometimes there are use cases when you have a sensor. Yeah, let's say 4 sensors. You have a device and what control 4 sensors, and you have a gateway that controls devices.
Yeah.
And they all have small storages, and the gateway is responsible for pushing the data, this data to the cloud.
The problem is the device is often the gateway as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's combined in one piece of hardware.
Well, I didn't know, because I would imagine you have multiple refrigerators at a location.
This is possible as well.
And so I didn't know if maybe you were using all the sensors and they would tie into one gateway.
On this business case, we did not. Okay. But we have business case, especially we have some food manufacturer which bring the food to some locations, and they have an RFID system on the food containers, mm-hmm. and there's only one device which collects this data from this sensor.
Right. Okay. So anything with GPS on the sensors?
Yeah.
So they all have GPS, or some of them have GPS?
Some have GPS, especially the food storage has a GPS, so they can see where is it.
Okay.
Is it in delivery in time?
Right.
And we can make some predictive maintenance there to see if he wants to deliver at 12 o'clock, he has go next time at 11, not at 11:30 there because of some traffic jam or whatever. Who's next? Some more?
Right.
Okay. Oh, I'm over time, so thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
Thank you.